It is a great joy to be able to be with you today. Mary, first thing she said, the building looks beautiful, but you look more beautiful. And we are thankful to God that God would bless us to be able to come down and to be with you today. I nearly just automatically said, Nisayandra Tadingu Kanamaramas, but I did not, and I'd have to translate, and that takes up too much valuable time. That's a very short thing. I simply said, good morning, men and brothers and sisters, and there's a lot more that I would love to say to the congregation here in another language, especially the Fijian language, but will not do so. I am glad for the monitors in the back because it will keep me on track. I try to stay on track with black, as you can tell. But nevertheless, it helps me to stay on track where I am talking from during this opportunity. Will you do me a favor? Do you promise me you can do this? That's yes. And no, yes, no. And don't say no. But do me a favor. I think we do a misfavor to the Lord. And sometimes we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 to 9. You know it. We plant, we water, God gives the increase. But sometimes we don't say anything about verse 5. And in the Greek, verse 5 would say that we are servants by which others believe. And I am just simply translating that. We are servants by which others believe. And during the presentation this morning, will you promise me that you will see Jesus and not just Robert and Mary? I do not know how to talk about the work without talking about Robert and Mary. And this is our time to come and report about the work we do. But you've got to look beyond that. You've got to look beyond that, far beyond that, to Jesus. And he is the one that is in front of us. Our work started really in mission work the 7 years that we spent in Williamston, South Carolina. That's right between Anderson and Greenville in a tri-city area. And our mission work started 60 years ago. And Mary and I were invited to come and be with the church at Williamston, and I spoke for 2 days about mission work in Williamston and in the beginning. If you'll look and you can see beyond on one of the slides, you will see the model of cars. And certainly they were battleships. In those days, they were like tanks. And they're a lot different than they are even today. But God blessed us. We started in our living room with two unfaithful Christians, and from there we grew. By the time we left, God had blessed us. And we had probably about 50, 55 in attendance. They have gone up and down like any other church in America. And they are doing well now. They run about 40 in attendance with great Sunday night attendance. And what a great example they are to others. But 53 years ago, Mary and I decided that we wanted to go to do foreign mission work in Fiji to begin with. And then about 2 years later, it became all the Pacific Islands, 20 already of the 22 countries where we have, God has used us in planting his church in 20 of the 22 countries with many co-workers that join us short term and long term. And we are thankful to God for every one of them. We had a prayer, we had a plan, and I tell you, we got off the plane and I thought I was still propelling. And we were in the Lord's work. And I'm thankful to God that it's still that way today. We thank God for all of his blessings. And in 15 years, we had, 10 years. In 10 years, we had planted 15 congregations. And we're thankful to God for that. Now, there are many more today. One of the things that Brother Dan McLeod and I know about, during the first Fijian workshop in 1974, we had 45 in attendance. This year they had 600, over 600. Isn't that wonderful? And so throughout the Pacific Islands, the Church of our Lord is growing. There are some things that I want to share with you right up front about missions. Number one, foreign mission work. Now, don't get yourself upset when I make this statement. I believe in the old Jerusalem gospel. I believe in the power of the gospel, Romans 1:16. And more of y'all can say yes if you want to. It won't hurt my feelings a bit. But nevertheless, I believe in that old Jerusalem. But I'm afraid that especially foreign mission work, and it's not just foreign mission work. Really, it is worldwide mission work is about becoming all things to all people that by some means we might win some. And so we need to remember that. And then the presentation, Mary asked me to make this one very personable. And so I have tried to do that, and how that this principle has really been a conduit for us as we have carried the gospel and planted the Lord's church in 20 of the 22 countries in the Pacific. There is another process that we have used, and that process is duplicating, like Paul said to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul said to Timothy, what I've committed to you, you commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. This is a great mission principle, and we need to remember it as we duplicate the church in every place, and it will help the church to grow. We try to get every Christian that we teach and baptize to buy in on this. Another principle that we enacted immediately, within the first 6 months, we could see the only way to go was the indigenous approach. Now, that don't mean we don't ever help churches or congregations. Boy, how foolish would that statement be? We do help them considerably. More in the beginning, less as they make progress. One principle that I've always attached to this is we do not do for them. Are you listening? We do not do for them what they can do for themselves. Now, if they bite off more than they can chew, the very first thing that I am going to say to them, what are you doing? And they know it, the older brethren know that I'm going to say, what are you doing? And if they are not doing something to move the vehicle, don't ask me to get involved in it because I won't. And some of them, I will draw up an agreement and get them to sign off on it, the leadership in that church. Because I want to hold them to it and say, look at this, brethren. Here it is, what I've said. You agreed to it. Now let's move on. So this principle, we believe in it greatly. Many years ago, we started in Suva. There's a lot of things that had happened. The church had already been basically planted in Suva. Brethren, if we sow the seed, we plant the church. We don't start it. The Lord did that. But if we sow the seed, we plant the church. That just sounds logical, doesn't it? Now, we started in Suva. Boy, when I first got there, I thought we're going to have a great beginning. We're going to have some things already been bump started, and we're just going to build on it. Wow, was I fooled. I mean, it was really literally a handful that we had to work with and start building. And we started. We thank God. Now, that's not the end of the story. A lot of adding, multiplying, and building up the church, even in the capital of Suva. Today, they run about 75 or 80 in attendance. And they are growing spiritually and numerically. They also have two elders. And brethren, they have been working very diligent to appoint another elder. Don't give up, because if you quit, you'll never get it. You got to continue. And so they have two elders. Both of these men are great men, spiritually minded, and they're doing a great job leading the church. They're two of my brothers, and Dan's too. Dan, I'll let you claim part of them. Brother Lesio and Brother Emosi. And they're just great men, and they're closer than just a brother. They're a lot closer than that. Now, we did not stop with where the church had already been planted, although it was like we started all over again, and that's okay. We do what we need to do. But nevertheless, we were able to take the gospel into areas where, may I say it, to this multicultural, multilinguistic congregation, we come from many different tribes, don't we? We come from many different tribes. We can call that a Tokatoka, a Matangali. We can call it the Yavusa, the Vanua. And that gets really large in the Fijian culture. But no one told Mary and I, you cannot go into some areas of Fiji in those days. Now remember that, that's 53 years ago. You cannot go into certain areas. Caucasian people do not go into those. I said, well, I'm of a tribe, so I don't know why I can't go. So we went. Sometime when we went, Mary would say to me, I don't know if that bridge is going to be there when we come back, Robert, because all the boards were cracking and snapping and talking to us as we proceeded across. They still use the bullocks in this area. We are here headed into an area called the Mundral Sudhu. I'm not going to translate that because I don't want to translate it, okay? But it's in a private audience, I would probably do it, but not in a larger audience. But what a joy it was for us to carry the gospel. You might say, well, how did it start? Let me tell you how it started. One day I said to Mary, because I would carry the kids to school in the morning, she'd get them in the afternoon, because I'm usually having a lot of Bible studies by that time, even during the day in those days. And I said to Mary, I'm wasting my time carrying these kids to school. She said, Robert, they got to be educated. And so I said, no, I don't mean that. I need to be utilizing my time in the Lord's work. But we agreed. You carry them in the morning, I'd carry them in the afternoon. You pick them up in the afternoon. I said, well, I'm going to do that. Surely there's something that I can be doing. Well, that was the first time that we ever flung the tracks out the Land Cruiser windows. You know one thing I think about David? Well, I never knew of anybody that got run over, even in the Capitol, picking up those tracks out of the road. Now, they could have very well been bending over and got rear-ended, but I don't know of a person that got bumped or hit or hurt picking up the tracks. That's how this all started, going into those mountains called the Mundral Sudhu. And it started with that black and white photo. Brother Mavono Rocco, he would get up and come in on the first bus, about a two-hour trip, and he would work in the Capitol for the Suva City Council, cutting grass on the side of the road. Well, we always saw them. That time they were using the cane knife. Boy, they could use that cane knife. They kept that thing sharp as a razor blade. And they could really mow the grass. No weed eaters in those days. We don't call them weed eaters, we call them bush cutters. And so me and Steve, our oldest son, we were giving the tracks both sides of the road. So about 2 days later, Mavono picked up a track. You know what the title of that track was? Have you ever heard of the Church of Christ? It wasn't black and it wasn't color those days, it was black and white. And he picked it up. Well, he then flagged me down, and he said, I read this track. I said, well, I can tell that the pages are nearly worn off of it. But he said, you know, look at those mountains. I said, I look at them often from our house in Suva. And I said, he said, that's where I live. I live in the Mundra-Sudhu range of mountains. And I want you to come to our village. I believe what this tract teaches. I've never seen anything like this before in my life. I'm a Methodist. I said, that's okay. God loves Methodists and everybody else. He loves the whole world. And so we went. Listen to me carefully. Caucasian people did not go into those areas. When Thakombau became the king of all of Fiji, all the Vanua, all of Fiji, he never went to the Kevakaus. The Kevakaus are the people from the mountains. Some people will call them the Kaitholos, and we resent it, don't we, Mary? Because that's our tribe. That's our tribe. And so we resent it. What they're saying is, you people are the bush people. You're the bush people. So we went. First thing we did, I could see that there's a lot of children in the village. We had what we called a summer Bible school, like your vacation Bible school. We had a lot of children to come, a lot of teenagers and adults. And boy, did that get us started. I mean, we got started. But then there was a sequence of events. We only had baptized two after months and months, Brother Mavono Roko and his wife, Elanani. And so we started. Everything was going good. Man, prospect, we could have open air preaching in the village. And then something went bad. It didn't go good. There's a sequence of events that took place. Number one, me and brother, and David, you try to remember this name. Sereki Vakyandra. Yeah, you can roll the R's too. All right. David, remember that, Sereki Vakyandra. I'll just say Seta. That's easier, isn't it? Yes, we were there together. He was a young man I'd converted back in the capital through the teaching him the gospel, the Tukutuku Vanaka, the good news of Jesus Christ. And his church. And so he was with me on that occasion. I only took him because I still was a little bit uncertain. Well, I can assure you, Ephesians 4:15, we were speaking the truth in love. But somebody woke up that morning with a foul attitude, a rotten, stinking attitude, really. And it was the high chief of the Narairai Matangali. That tribe. Now, here's the way it is. The Tokitoka, the Matangali. Now, the Matangali may include like these villages. Nakini, Notawaika, Naganivatu, and Deldamanu. Now, those are four different villages. The Narairai tribe is in those four villages. But you know what? He woke up that morning and he woke up with hate in his mind, not loving elders. We were speaking the truth in love. And we were preaching the gospel with love. And then I felt something hit me. And I said, wow, that was not a little rock. That was a stone like that. Luckily, I was a linebacker, and so I stayed on my feet. But not ready to go to battle, I said to Seta, we better run, brother. We ran to where the boat had parked, our boat, because the only way in those days to that village was by boat. Guess what? Guess what? The boat wasn't there. The boatman saw what was happening, rum rung, and he already took off. And so Seth said, Robert, what are we going to do? We got to swim to the other side of the... It's the widest river in Fiji. And that time I weighed 250 pounds. And I said, this big boy is not going to swim across this river. I said, Seth, you go up the river. I'll go down the river. And so we did. And there was Rum Rum. Well, there was another event that happened about 2 or 3 months later. I got to the landing where we parked the Land Cruiser. We got ready to get in the boat, go up the river, and there was a big commotion of people. They were gathered around a man.
And I mean, he could have written on his stomach, left-handed especially. His stomach was swollen like this. I mean, 3 or 4 times the size it should be. And I said, "Can I help?" And then I looked, and it's Malachi, the one that instigated our being stoned, and I nearly said, "Forget it." Do you think I was about ready to say that? No, shake your head. No, I wasn't. I said, "Can I help?" Well, I got to cut the story down. Mary already warned me, "Don't rope matini, don't too much tell no beloved. That is, don't tell too many stories, Robert Martin, too long." And so I took him to the Capitol. I told the other brethren, that time I had about 5 brethren, maybe 4 or 5 brethren. I said, "Y'all go on to North Hawaii," because we had to leave Delta Manu and go across the stream to the village of North Hawaii to meet at the Lord's church that we had already planted in Delta Manu. And so I took him in. Well, I get into the Capitol. I carry him straight, and I'm blowing my horn. That's a sign there's an emergency in Fiji. The people in the emergency room rushed out when they heard the horn because they knew what it meant, and they took him out, took him in to the theater. I'm not talking about the movie theater. Mary, what do we call it here? The surgery. Yeah, they didn't carry him to the movie theater. They carried him in for surgery. And then the European doctor came back out, and he said, "It's of us in the waiting room. Who is the man that brought this Fijian man in?" Well, I said, "What man are you talking about?" He said, "The one that had a bloated stomach." And I went like this, because I said, "If he's died, I'm not getting blamed for this." And then I finally said, "Robert, raise your hand, please." I raised my hand. He said, "He owes you his life." Gangrene had already set up. How many days? We're not for sure. Doctor said, "With another day, he'd have been a dead man." And how many times that doctor reminded him, in Fiji in those days, they did not have sheets on the mattresses. They did not have pillowcases on the pillows. And they did not supply the food in the hospital. So Mary said to me, and I said, "Wait a minute, Mary, don't go no farther with this. I know what you're going to say. We're going to carry food to Malachi. This is the fellow that stoned us. I'm not even got banged upside the head, chased out of Delta Manu. We had to go to North Waika, the next village down, and here you are wanting to carry him food and pillowcases and sheets." I said, "Yes, that's what we need to do." I said, "That's right. That's what we need to do." Boy, how did it change the church all over Fiji. This became known all over Fiji. Not because of me, but because of others, this became known. That doctor, Malachi, and many others. Long story short, he adopted us both culturally and really governmentally. We're listed at the Tui Roko's office, and that's the man that's over the whole Vanua. That's a high chiefly title, and he had our names registered. Our names are registered right along beside all these Fijians, but in the Fijian language. Now, Arietta Maria, our baby daughter, they did not have to change her name. As the customs and immigration people says, she's a Kaiviti Volungi. That's why she's a white Fijian. So they didn't have to change her name. So, long story short, it really changed the church all over Fiji, and it really had an impact because that day, Brother Vili Kasarimanga and 4 other brothers were with me. And they all began to hear the story. And they visited Malachi in the hospital. You know, you never know what did Paul say? Become all things, 1 Corinthians 9:22. Become all things to all men, that by some means you might win some. Here is Malachi in the adoption process. But here is the beginning of the church in Delta Manu.
really not the way it continued. And then we were told to come back by Malachi to Deldamunu after the adoption process. And today, here is that congregation. Now, some of it's a bunch of hogwash. Physically. No, I'm going to say it that way. Can I say it that way? Well, I just said it that way. What do you mean? I just said it that way. But I don't open my mouth because I know, excuse me, I know that it may be to God's honor and glory and the progress of the church. Become all things to all men that by some means you might save some. You know, here's a congregation that runs about 80 to 85. Congregation that had four elders, but now they have three because two of them decided we want to go into Abraham's bosom. We're tired of this place. But they're in the process of appointing more elders. They've increased their building. They've increased it three times. And they're in process of doing it again. Now, women, ladies, please don't get offended at me, okay? I'm trying to carry you because in becoming all things to all men, you have to cross cultural boundaries, linguistic boundaries, custom boundaries. Customarily, though, the women, excuse me, do not eat with the men. They do not do it. But there are exceptions. And one of our deacons at Forest Park there in Atlanta, he about had a fit because I told them the ladies will wait and eat with the men. Well, don't you know that Malachi and Micah, his son, once he became the Tarungan of Matangali, they showed me wrong. Well, this time was the first time that Mary had been back because of our Arietta Maria in a number of years. And the brethren reminded us that she is a Renundi. That means that she's a queen. Malachi gave her that title. And so her and Tanya were able to join us men. Now, it makes Mary feel uncomfortable. She doesn't love doing it. But nevertheless, and let me tell you now that Malachi passed away. Then Micah passed away. And we had to go through a big ceremonies. Even our part back here in the States to Fiji, become all things to all men that by some means you might win some. And now Rusiati is the Tarungan of Matangali, that is the high chief of the Matangali. Because he is new, he's old, but he's new as the Tarungan of Matangali, we had to go and have a ceremony. Well, hey, let me tell you this. These young ladies shadowed Mary every night. We go to the PIBC classes, and they, as soon as we turned up in the SUV, the Land Cruiser, they were right there ready to open the door and escort her into the building. Isn't it amazing? Now, one of these is a coastal young lady, and another is a Kevakau. You know how I know that? Because one's more light-skinned than the other one. The Kevakau is a true Fijian all the way, in every respect. And she's the darker one of the two. So this was a great occasion for our Matangali. And it was customary that we go and that I present Mary and Tanya, who's listed in the Matangali listing, and all of our other children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And I had to present them to Rusiati. He's the new Tarunga or high chief of the Matangali. This was a very special occasion and one that is expected of us to perform since we are part of that tribe. We're part of that tribe. Now, When we left, Mary is still carrying the scars. Yes, the left arm. Right arm, left arm. Thank you, I'm backwards. I'm always backwards. Okay, but the left arm. And they got her like this, like she's ready to fly, because that day was very windy and they were not going. Our Matangali, the men that were really, it gets real technical. Some of the our immediate Tokatoka men decided Rodandi Mary is not going to fall going down those steps because of her knee. And they endeavored to help her. Now her shoulder's giving her a headache. But they was bounding. Mavono in the back said, I was ready to grab Sister Mary from the back, Brother Robert. They wanted to show their love in every way. Now, there's always the joy of duplicating the church again and again by sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's a great challenge. Here we are in the village of Nala, and I'm not going to give all the background. I've got to stop the telling the story too long. But the man in the center, Brother Kayava Tuinganga, and Brother Kayava enrolled in our Bible correspondent courses. Some of us brothers, we were giving out tract packets, enrolling people in Bible correspondent courses and the like. So we carried the gospel. He wanted the Bible studies in his house, about a good 45 minutes from the Capitol. Used to be a gravel road half of the way, just a gravel road, those good old days. And Brother Kayava was determined to obey the gospel. But I knew that in the Kora, in the village, better really count the cost. Because the first person of his stature in that village is going to be very difficult. Very difficult. He was the lay preacher in the Methodist Church. He was what we call the Vakatawa in the Methodist. We need that in the Church of Christ. What it is, they had one man, older man, designated with a stick about that long. And anybody that started doing this, he'd go around, tap him on the head. Literally, you could hear it, pow, right on the head. We need that in the Lord's church, don't we? The Vakatawas. The tappers. So don't go to sleep on me. I might come down and tap. And then run for my life. But listen to this. For 9 months, nobody else obeyed the gospel. What do you think Brother Robert did? Quit? You think I quit? I've got the tenacity of a bulldog. I may not have much sense. But nevertheless, I didn't stop. And then it started to happen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8, 10, 12, obeying the gospel and becoming a member of the Lord's church. Today, this is that congregation at Nala, and you know that we've already got third and fourth generation Christians in Fiji. These are four men that are being appointed elders in Fiji in Nala Village. Four men. Their fathers and their grandfathers were also men that were leaders, not elders, before them. Isn't that wonderful? And all the church said, we don't like it. Right? We ought to be saying what? Amen. Yes, brother, yes. Go ahead and say it, brother. Yes, why not? So this church, congregation, runs about 45 to 50, depending on what the occasion might be. And they have extended their building by themselves, building it. They have extended their building. Now, many years ago, Mary and I met a young couple by the name of Mika and Rosa Lau Philly. When we first met them, believe me, I did not say it, but I thought it after a few months. Thank you, Dave.
I said, Mary, they're never going to make it. Just me and Mary. Now, I would never say that to them. Boy, was I proved wrong. They have affected the church all the way from American Samoa to Honolulu, all the way back to Mika's homeland in Western Samoa. Now, a lot of edifying, a lot of building up the church. Mika met a man by the name of Faleli in the village of Mungyungi. Dan, you got that? Mungyungi. Boy, that sounds like somewhere in South Florida, doesn't it? Mungyungi. And so Mika had a study with him. The study lasted about an hour. That didn't last very long. I don't know where he got that from, Mary. But Mika, the study started going, and they'd study from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock. Finally, Faleli said, Mika, you've got to come to our village and share this old gospel with people in our village. He had already taught and baptized Faleli and his wife. You know what? 2 years later, here's that congregation. Isn't that wonderful? In 2 years, it went from two. Wow. Think about the growth of this church. Now, also a number of years ago, Mary and I, well, in the beginning, I was in a taxi, and I don't meet people I cannot talk to. And so we started. This taxi driver, myself, Brother Talasunga Funitia. And so we started talking, ended up baptizing Talasunga. He became our radio speaker after a long episode that is a story within itself. And then one day he came to me and I said, why didn't you wait for Mary? He said, no, I don't tell Sister Mary, I'm ashamed. I said, well, why aren't you ashamed of me? No, you're like, I don't know. I'm not ashamed of you. Okay, so Talasunga said, we're going to migrate to New Zealand. Brethren, listen, this church has grown. There is that church today. You know, it's better to stay quiet. How many of you would have said, oh, yes, I'll go teach Saul of Tarsus. Lord, you've called on me, I'll go right now. No, wait a minute, this fellow has a rotten reputation, right? He wakes up on the wrong side of the bed and not a good situation. Now, many years ago, in order to teach and train and edify and equip, Mary and I started with the Fiji School of Biblical Studies and Training. We started three of those in Fiji. We did not put one man on support. We had preacher boys that were running out our ears going every direction in Fiji. So, 29 years ago, we started Pacific Islands Bible College. You know enough about it. You don't know how it's impacted the Pacific. We have taught over 3,000 Christians in 29 years. Wow, you think about that. That sounds like the day of Pentecost. Now, this last year, we set all kinds of records. We had with us our daughter, Tanya, and her husband, Mel. Mel is an elder at the Manassas congregation in Manassas, Virginia. And the brethren had anticipated it would be that way. And so they had already put up a tarpaulin in front of the building, and they were ready for the overflow. For the last 2 years before that, we had had the same thing. Tanya was 3 years of age when we moved to Fiji, and now she's teaching the children in the same class where her mother taught her. But she asked me one night, Dad, did my mother teach for 3 hours like you and Mel are going and I've got these children? Yes, she's done that, and she can do it again. But you're doing a good job, Tanya. Just keep it up. Now, also, we had a ladies' day. We have a lot of ladies' workshop speakers like you do at the South Florida Lectureship. But this was a different ladies' day. The ladies said to me before we started, they said to me that this is different because it's Mary Ann Martin and Tanya Ann Martin Hurley teaching us ladies. We broke all attendance records. We had 85 plus 10 children, and it was a great day. It was an opportunity because when Brother Dan McLeod and I were in Suva the year before, I noticed the brethren would not speak Maria's name. And they had been, saying, she's one of us. She's a Kaiviti Volangi. She's a white Fijian. But they wouldn't speak her name. And she had just passed away a year earlier when Dan was with me last year. And so I said to one of the brothers one day, "Why are you doing that?" And he said, "Because you forgot the culture, one part of it, from the Cavacaos. We cannot speak Arietta's name until the mother comes and uses her name that birthed her." Now, that's not true in all the tribes in Fiji. Only the Cavacaos have that. Only the Cavacaos. And so Mary did a wonderful job that day of bringing her lesson, speaking about Maria. It was a day of a lot of tears and so forth. I want to thank the Palm Beach Lakes congregation, the elders, the deacons, the preachers, and every one of you members for all of your support, your love, your care, your prayers, and your support. Thank you so very much for your love and care. And we've tried to duplicate it throughout the Pacific Islands. And we're not ready to stop yet. May God bless you. May God keep you. And if you don't get our newsletter, do something for me. I nearly forgot that one, Mary. Give Mary your name and address or the zip code, and we'll put you on the mailing list. Again, thank you so very much. We appreciate it.